Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Desperate House Witches. I am Dorian Wallace, and my lovely co-host joining me is my sister, Miss Raina.
Hello!
How you doing?
Oh, child. Wait till you hear what show I've been watching.
Oh, God, I can't wait to hear this.
Oh, honey, do your shout-out first, please.
Yes, I got to give my shout-out to my cousin Jessica. I love you, baby. I'm going to send you a knuckle sandwich and a bag of chips. Love you, Jess.
Hey, Jessie. She's awesome. Okay. So, your sister has really sunk down the reality chain.
Uh-oh, God.
I want everyone to forgive me, I have been watching three seasons, not three episodes, but three seasons of Teen Mom.
Oh, my God. Are you fucking kidding me? Teen Mom?
Oh, my God. If it were only true that I was merely joking, but no. No, in order to have a successful rant, I went ahead and watched three consecutive seasons of Teen Mom. Yes, it is scary. It is scary what's out there. This is why we are breeding losers in the world. But I have to tell you, if you actually get to know some of these teenagers, not all of them are stupid. Not all of them are uneducated. Shit happens. So cover it before you use it unless you intend to make something you have to raise. I'm just saying.
Well, you know, I think part of the problem there is, you know, as mothers, what happens when you tell a kid no? That, no, you can't do that, or no, you have to wait till, you know, like, say, you're married.
In the words of Whoopi Goldberg, you cannot stop people from fucking. It feels too good.
There you go.
I'm just saying. You know, I'm sure my mother must have told me at some point, don't do that, and I'm like, she's just keeping this shit for herself. No, but
it's,
seriously, I just think, you know, I've had these conversations with my kids, and yes, I have sons, but you know what? I don't think it's any less scary when you have male children as opposed to when, because we both have two boys, and granted, mine are a bit older than yours, but you know, I leveled the same threat when my kids were young, and I thought way too young to be involved sexually with anybody, even themselves half the time. But, I mean, you know, you can ask either of my boys, did your mother ever threaten you? And they will say, yes, my mother threatened to tie it in a knot if I used it too soon. Absolutely right. I'm sorry. I don't go for this whole, because I was a bit of a wild child. Not that wild where I was having sex at 14 or even 16 in a real sense. You know, I don't mind telling the listeners I was assaulted at 17, but I don't count that because that was not by my choice. So, you know, I consider that I basically maintained my virginity until I was 18. You know, But yeah, even then, I mean, good grief, I didn't have my first child until I was 28 years old, and I thought I was too young then. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, we've had the conversation about having a baby way too soon. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to do it. Don't want to have done. You know, there were times, I will be honest, when I had a couple of scares. I think, you know, most of us have had scares. But I think it's important to, you know, learn before you make any critical errors that change your life. And I adore my children, and my children know that. As a matter of fact, I was talking, by the way, your nephew says hello. I was talking to the elder child who called me from sunny South Carolina this evening. He loves his Aunt Shep, and he wishes you all goodness, and let's just say he wants to see the family soon. I have not discussed anything heavy duty, nor will I discuss anything heavy duty right now. But you know what? I have to tell you, Dor, the kid seems kind of good.
Good.
Real settled and calm. I mean, you know, I don't mind telling everybody I have a 22-year-old and a 20-year-old, and the 22-year-old, you know, was a bit of a wild child himself, but this experience that he just went through, he was going to serve in the military, and unfortunately, they did not decide to let him stay. Not because he did anything wrong whatsoever, but it wasn't a good fit, and they gave him, you know, an honorable discharge because there was not a fault involved, which was cool. So, you know, I think it was a good experience. You know, a lot of people are like, you know, we're still involved in other countries and wars and stuff. And I'm like, you know what? You got to let people be who they are. And you've got to let them, you know, when a child is old enough, even though you want to hold them and cuddle them forever, when a child is old enough to make certain decisions, you kind of have to step back and let them. That's my personal opinion. What can I say?
Me. It's like, I mean, stemming back to, you know, I didn't mean that, you know, you can't, you know, tell kids, no, you shouldn't do that. Yes, you should. But
oh, hell yeah.
If you don't give them the information as to why, you know, and you just say, oh, because it's bad. You know, and you don't want to discuss it. You want to stick your head in the sand. That's, you know, that's part of the problem. You don't want to, you know, because kids are going to do what they're going to do anyway. You know, I mean, regardless of what we say, they, you know, they are going to do what they're going to do to an extent.
Child, do you have that right or what? Oh, there is no doubt. No doubt. Children are going to do like they do like they do. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, and kids make mistakes, and you know, I was having a conversation with somebody earlier about, you know, when your kid makes a mistake, you have to correct them, and a super-duper parent, when they make a mistake, admits it to their child. You know, my mother got really mad at me once when I was a teenager, and my best friend at the time, who was standing right there, my mother hauled off and hit me. And she hit me she thought I had lied to her, and I hadn't, and she had to turn around and apologize.
Oh.
And she apologized to me after she found out the truth, which was not even until several hours later after my friend had gone home. But my mother, it was a couple of days later, and my mother specifically stated that she needed to apologize to me, but not just to me. She needed to apologize to me in front of my friend. And I had so much respect for the fact that this adult was owning up to her mistake. I thought that was one. It was one of the greatest moments between me and my mom.
That's awesome.
I know.
I mean,
she
not that
actually
smacked you, but yeah.
Yeah, before the Christianity took hold and destroyed her brain, my mother had some real moments of cool back in the day. I don't know what happened. Oh, yeah, I do. My father. Never mind.
Yeah.
Conversation.
Yes.
So aside from me absorbing, and I'm sorry if my brain seems a little addled, but you try watching three seasons of Teen Mom episode back-to-back over a four-day period and tell me you won't feel fried and roasted. Hello.
I honestly don't know how you are upright and talking at this moment. I mean, three fucking seasons. What the hell were you thinking?
I was thinking, shit, let me watch this crap because I am doing an investigation on all reality TV. And I got to tell you, this was some crazy-ass shit. Because you know me, I love trashy crap. It's not PC. It's not appropriate. I don't give a fuck. I wanted to watch it. I thought it was, you know, honestly, I started watching it and I thought, my sister's going to say, what the fuck are you doing? But I thought after the first episode, I'd be like, oh, my brain's friggin' fried. I can't handle it. Raina, what the hell are you doing? And I figured I'd turn this shit off. Oh, no. Oh, no. My little brain got sucked into the fucking storylines. I was like, what's going to happen to Caitlin next? And I mean, I went, what? Yes, I have given away 4 days of my life that I am never going to get back. Never.
Oh, baby, I am so sorry.
I cannot reclaim that time. I wish I could, but I gave it up to have something crazy to talk about for the show. And hey, just be glad I'm not watching Springer, okay?
Oh, my God. No, you know, okay. Because we don't have cable anymore, and I think I've said this to the audience, obviously, you know, we've been cable cutters for 3 years now, maybe possibly over that, you know, and I honestly do not really miss cable, you know, because, yeah, I got sucked into Laguna Hills, I think it was, or The Hills, something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this was like many years ago. I like flipped it on and I was reading something and it came on and I just kind of got sucked into it. I was like, okay, these people can't really be this stupid. This has to be staged. And I wound up watching it for like a couple weeks. Yep. And I was like, I finally smacked myself out of it. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Why am I watching this?
You smacked yourself out of it. That is hilarious.
I was just like, oh my God, why am I watching spoiled rich kids complaining about their lives? What sense does this make? I mean, it's like, I'm sorry, at least Jerry Springer, you know, at least they're more based in reality to an extent. I'm pretty sure most of it is staged, but yeah, the Bouncer now has his own spinoff show. I was flipping through. I was like, oh, my God. Okay, he's hosting Jerry Springer now? Oh, no. They gave the motherfucker his own show. I'm like, so we got two of them now.
The Steve Wilco Show. Yeah, it's true. It exists. I think I watched it a few times back when I was laid off years ago for a brief period of time. What a friggin' mistake in judgment that was. At least Teen Mom, it's real girls having real babies. I know that's not saying much, but
yeah.
I mean, at least it's somewhat based somewhere in some kind of reality. I mean, sad but true. What can I tell you? I mean, yes, do I regret watching three seasons of
back-to-back episodes of Teen Mom.
I do, and I know it's schlock TV, but I thought it would be funny to see how much of it I could get through. I got through a lot of it. I'm kind of afraid for myself now, because that's scary.
You know what? We're going to give you an honorary gold medal for watching all that crap.
No, you're not. You're
going to
smack me in the friggin' head for doing something that damn stupid. I'd smack me in the head for it, but I like me too much. What can I tell you? Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about our guest this evening.
Yes.
And in the interest of full disclosure, of course, I have to tell everybody that our guest tonight is my first husband, Liam, and he is on because of amazing things that he has been doing. He's going to be speaking, I believe, at Witchfest 2012 in New York. He's got a Kickstarter program for the Rune Tarot. He's doing a lot of amazing, interesting things, and we're going to be talking to him in a little while. So, just so everyone knows who he is, we are also on some upcoming shows. We've got, God, we're booked, aren't we? Are we booked?
Yeah. We are pretty well booked. I'm just finagling a couple dates.
She's finagling, folks. Watch out. When this woman finagles, oh, gosh, you never know what the hell is going to happen when she finagles. This is going to scare me.
No, it's just I'm switching around a couple dates, but for the most part, I think the 31st, it's just going to be us talking about Blue Moon, because, you know, we're having two full moons this month on the 31st, so it's a Blue Moon. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that, but we are booked pretty much until September 21st. I think there's just a couple people that are, I'm unsure, you know, where the exact placement's going to be. But, we have some awesome guests coming up. I'm pretty excited.
Are you stoked?
I'm stoked. I'm stoked.
I'm glad you're stoked. It's important to be stoked. I do want to say this also. To my beloved sister Dorian, I love you, and again, let me express my condolences over the loss of your sweetie Artemis. My sister's kitty passed away yesterday, so if you guys would please send my sister and Artemis love and light, and for Artemis to pass safely to where we will see her again. I love you a bunch, sis, and you know, you're in our thoughts, and it's hard to lose any member of the family, especially our furry ones. So I just love you, and you are awesome, and we are gonna get you through it.
Yeah, it's honestly up and down. Like I was saying, I mean, this morning I woke up and just immediately started crying because. Yeah, and here I go again. So I apologize, guys.
That's all right. We're all here for each other. I love you. And she is with Hunter, and they are romping and waiting for the rest of us to get the hell over there. Not too soon, please, but we will see them on the other side. You know, I mean, hello, I'm in no hurry. I know I'm aging, but I don't want to age quite that fast. So... what the hell else? I wanted to talk to you about something else. And, you know, my fuzzy little brain, this is what three seasons of Teen Mom will do to your brain. The thoughts I had in my head have disintegrated and rotted away. What the hell happened to me? I really am having a brain freeze without the benefit of ice cream.
Well, I tell you what, why don't we tell people about, real quick, the wonderful meditation beads you have put in Cobalt Raven's Magical Notions.
Please stop, guys. Shameless plug time. please go to Cobalt Raven's Magical Notions. There is a Facebook page. I have put up, I haven't put up a damn thing. She's put up some stock of stuff I created. I hope you all like it. Please stop by the store. We're happy to have you. Shameless plug over from me.
Oh, and remember that our listeners get a 10% discount with our code, which is DHW, all caps, when you check out. So, yeah, if you want to order something, you get 10% off just for listening. Because we like you guys.
Just because we like you, and we hope you like us too. So,
exactly.
Yes, and I also want to mention coming up on some future shows, we are going to have in the near future a discussion of, and the title of that this show that I'm speaking about is called Which Witch is Which, and my lovely Cynthia will be talking to us about the difference between what Wicca is and what a witch is and how these terms have wound up being interchangeable even though they should not be. And I'm looking forward to learning more about that. We are having, the return. He is coming back. Ian Corrigan. We are going to have Mr. Ian Corrigan again on October 26th. And he is going to talk about more Celtic fabulousness from his very druidic perspective. We adore Mr. Corrigan. He is an awesome guest, and we love having him. And not to put any pressure on her, but we are also hoping to have a separate show with Leah Fall, his wife. So she has also her own perspectives, and we need to hear from our ladies, and I love her. She is a wonderful woman. Also coming back on the November 2nd show is our good friend Taliesin, and he is going to talk to us about the importance of the pagan vote. So we want everyone to know that every election is important. I know everyone says this is the most important. Have you ever noticed every presidential election season, this is the most important presidential election? They're all, you know what I mean? It's all important if you want to get out there and vote. A lot of people are like, it doesn't matter. You know what? It may not matter, but the truth is for me that I at least have to physically voice what I'm feeling in the voting booth. It may all be rigged. It may all be who the hell knows what. But we have to at least try, because as much as I love Barack, and Barack has disappointed me, I would still take him over Romney any day. So Raina's opinion, that's Raina's soapbox for that for right now.
Yeah, he hasn't done as much as I've wanted either. But look what he has to work with. Every time he tries to put something forward, it's a no. You know, and it's like, you know what, I'm not going to start into that because that's going to be an hour-long discussion and we'll wind up missing the guest. But, that's going to be a good show. That is going to be a good show. We're going to piss off a lot of Republicans that show.
Yeah, because Republicans are lining up to listen to my fucking mouth. Yeah.
Oh, no. Like Christian Day says, you'd be surprised. The haters listen to your show way more than the people who actually like you.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah. You can, because they can't wait to hear what the fuck you're going to say next.
Can I give a shout out to the haters?
Sure, go ahead.
Hate me, bitches. Hate me. Please hate me. Your job going forward is not only to hate me, but find five more motherfuckers to hate me too. because the more you hate me, the happier I am. Hate on me, bitches. I love it. Thank you. That was Raina's second rant tonight. Anybody want the bitch to go for a third? I'm warming up, motherfuckers. So anyway, it is 6:25 on my clock.
It's 9:25 on my clock. So, Mr. Liam, if you would like to call in at any point, you may do so, and we will put you on the air. It's like, wah-ha-ha, bring him to the dungeon.
Okay, Delphi, you know what? This poor man has already been married to me once. How much more fucking punishment do you want to put him through?
I gotta tease him. He's family. He's family. I gotta tease him.
Yeah, well, maybe so. I don't know if he's going to agree, but I hope you didn't scare him off, because he's the guest.
I'm just looking. Yeah, he's still in the chat room. I don't see his call coming through. There he is. All right, hold on a second. How you doing, Nips?
I'm good. Hey. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
We can all hear you, babe.
Thanks.
How you doing?
I'm just doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm teasing you. I'm trying not to scare you, but I got to bring you. You're family. I got to give you a hard time.
Well, that's expected, I suppose.
I told you, don't scare him off.
You got me captured. Well, I could hang up. But
no,
because
I know
we know
who you are
now.
And I can hunt you down. So anyway, as I've told everyone, Liam is my first husband, and he is doing some really amazing stuff. Why don't we start by talking about the inception of the Rune Tarot, because this is your Kickstarter program. And
yes,
I know that you had started, from personally knowing him, I know you started a tarot deck over 25 years ago. So
correct.
Why don't you tell folks about the Rune Tarot first?
Sure. Okay. Well, let's see. Where do we go? We go back to, like you said, about 25 years ago, actually, probably a little more than that, but started learning some tarot, and I had already known some runes for quite a while. And I started playing around with, doing a tarot cast or a tarot spread and then putting some runes on top of the cards just to kind of see what would happen. And it was, like, almost kind of scary how accurate they seemed to be with each other. They just seemed to mirror everything that one was doing with the other. So I did a little research and couldn't find any decks out there that actually had runes in them. Now, remember, this is 25 years ago before there were, like, 780 decks that were available. So, now we're down to, it was only a handful back then. So I decided I was going to make a few, and I started playing around. Now, granted, it was hand-drawn artwork, which was probably pretty substandard at that time. But I was having fun.
No, because I still have a piece of it. I have one of the original hand-drawn tarot cards.
That's awesome.
Yes, she does. She does. She has the Queen of Swords.
I like her.
He actually did that for me, and I have it. I cherish it. I adore it. I'm sorry. Continue.
Okay. So after figuring out that there wasn't a whole lot of stuff out there, I went ahead and started designing the deck, and life happened, and career happened, and I just kind of let it go, and then something called Facebook happened. 25-some-odd years later, I joined Facebook against my better judgment, and I saw this face, and I said, nah, it couldn't be her. And I responded to her message, and there she was, and she said, how was the deck going? And I went, oh, shit, I haven't touched it. Now, P.S., I had been spending, I don't know, last 8 years or so learning 3D graphics, and I was just doing it for fun, just playing around. And she said, how's the deck doing? And I said, oh, my God, I've got this program that I've been playing around with. This would be perfect. And I just got started. It was 5 months later, the whole deck was done, 78 cards. Yep. And that's the
story. Wow. Yeah, and they are beautiful. While we're all talking, I'm posting links and stuff. So let me find the Kickstarter thing. This is awesome. And if you guys can donate, anything to it, that would be awesome so we can get these printed and in the bookstores.
Well, there are a bunch of options for those who want to participate in the Kickstarter program. You want to tell us what those options are?
Sure. There's a whole lot available. In fact, I added a couple just over the last couple of days. I made it in a couple for the New York Witch Festival that's coming up in October.
Yep.
I also attend a temple out here on Long Island, and it's called the Silver Broom. And they have a enchanted evening every third Thursday of the month where they give 1 hour tarot readings or Reiki or all kinds of other options that are available. They're all $1 a minute. So I went and talked to the high priest there, Mark. He's a wonderful guy. And he's okay with me doing this. I'm going to be offering $1 tarot readings at the Silver Broom if anybody is on Long Island or can get to there. And it doesn't have to be me because Mark is a very, very extremely experienced witch who's been reading tarot a hell of a lot longer than I am. And his normal rate is somewhere in the vicinity of $100 or $150 an hour. So getting $1 a minute from him is a hell of a deal. So if anybody wanted to get a reading from me or from Mark or anybody else there, I will pay for it. And it all goes to the Silver Broom.
That's awesome.
I'm impressed.
So, that's one of the fun things that we're doing with the Kickstarter as well, is doing not just selling the cards, which I will sell for a donation of 25 or more. You get a signed and numbered copy. I'm going to be doing 1,000 cards or 1,000 decks the first time out, so it'll be the first run. And then after that, we're going to be doing tarot readings, and I'm going to put a card, an information card in the deck. And if you donate, I forget what the donation is, but you get to see your name in print on that deck, and it will stay there forever and ever. Amen. So it's a pretty cool deal.
Oh, that's cool.
That's awesome. I had no idea. So glad I asked.
Yeah, there's some new stuff in there. You got to look at it early on. So I've been adding a few things later that people have been asking for, actually. The smallest donation is for the $1 a minute reading, so obviously $1, but typically it's going to be $5 or more because you can't really get a hell of a reading in 1 minute. So $5 and up. Yeah. $5 and up, and you can get a participation in getting this deck into print.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. I have to tell you, from a personal standpoint, I'm very proud to be part of this in a small way and involved enough.
Small
just
way.
Just to the point to kind of kick you and get you to actually finish them. So I smile with a little bit of personal satisfaction knowing that you are working towards that goal. But so tell us about, you've done so much stuff in such a short amount of time. I don't want to miss anything. I know you're also teaching classes.
That's correct. At the Silver Broom. I've been teaching an 8-week runes and rune magic class. Basically, it's the history and lore of magic, of runes and magic. I go through all the runes, the 3/8, that's the Freya's 8, Hemdale's 8, and Tyr's 8. There's 24 runes in the whole packet. And then I go through a rune workshop where everybody gets to make their own set of runes. I teach about divination, bind runes, which is my specialty. Glyphs, rune scripts, and then doing rune staves, gander, which is basically a wand or a rune wand, and talisman magic. So it's been a lot of fun. We just actually wrapped it up the first run this past Wednesday, and I've got a couple people that really would like to have an advanced rune magic class. So I've been trying to pencil in a few ideas about doing ritual magic with runes.
Wow. Okay, I'm
it's
impressed.
Been fun. It's been fun. We did a great time with the first run. I'm also going to be teaching another class coming up in September. I'll be doing a class called Crossroads, which is essentially the crossroads of science and spirituality. With the new, the science that's coming up recently with quantum science, quantum physics, it's really kind of pointing to the concept that spirituality or consciousness has a direct effect on our world. And I'm trying to incorporate that into a discussion group where we can kind of feel out where the science is actually touching against magic, and it really does seem to blend quite well together. I remember talking with you not too long ago. We were discussing the whole random number generator thing. I don't know if anybody has ever heard about that or if that should even be brought up at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah? Okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It was an experiment, and this, you're going to get a kick out of this, Raina, because we talked about doing the GCP. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, yes, I do.
This is already called the GCP. It's the Global Consciousness Project. So,
You're kidding. I'm not kidding. Wow.
So the Global Consciousness Project is a network of random number generators. And the original experiment was basically to take a one person and sit them in front of a random number generator. This is a computer, essentially, that spits out ones and zeros. And it's so scientifically designed that it will only do a 50-50 break. And the only way it can possibly veer in any way, direction, or form is by a physical intervention. So they took a person, the whole intent, this was done at Princeton University, by the way, the whole intent was to finally disprove the whole concept of ESP or extrasensory perception or telekinesis or any of that stuff. And they sat people down in front of the machines and said, okay, this thing makes ones and zeros. I want you to make it more ones than zeros. And the next person comes and sits down in front of the same machine, and they say, okay, now I want you to make it more zeros than ones. And every single time, without fail, when they put somebody in front of the machine, it did that. If the person wanted more ones, it made more ones. If the person wanted more zeros, it made more zeros. Every single time. Then, on top of that, then they said, okay, let's see what happens when we take two people. And they two people in front of the same machine and say, now both of you make it more ones, or both of you make it more zeros, and it was even more effective. And then they took two people who were in a love relationship, and they said, you two make it ones, and they took two other people that were not in a love relationship and said, you two make it ones, and the ones who were in a love relationship were more effective than the ones who weren't. So it was showing without any doubt, and it was just over and over and over again that we're getting the same results, that human consciousness can have an effect on the physical world. So that was the birth of this whole thing with the global consciousness, where they're taking all of these random number generators all over the world, and they essentially turn them all on and basically just, you know, let them run for a while. And they did this just before the football player was on trial. What was his name? O.J. So they did it just before the O.J. trial. They turned it all on, let it run for a while, and everything was, you know, pretty static quo, you know, no changes really. And then they were observing what would happen because everybody knew when the trial would happen, and everybody was watching. So everyone was focused on this event. And there were two spikes that happened, and the two spikes coincided precisely with when the camera turned to where O.J. walked into the courtroom, and the second spike happened when the verdict was read. And it spiked, and they said that the spike was on the order of 1,000-to-1 odds that it would happen randomly. So the whole world had done this without even thinking about it. They weren't trying to make it do ones or zeros. It just spiked. And since then, they've let it run, and all kinds of events have happened. 9/11 happened. They saw a spike. They've had the tsunami in Japan cause another spike. So all of these huge events are influencing people on a global scale, and we're all influencing everybody else. It's a connection. We are all undeniably connected to each other. That whole concept of we are one is not just rhetoric. It's real. We really are all one.
That's amazing.
Cool stuff.
Wow.
So that's why I'm doing that next class. I need to get to the science of this.
You know, and that's part of, you know, the thing that has always fascinated me, because I've always been kind of logically minded and kind of scientifically minded. You know, I mean, not that I'm a Mensa member, but, you know, it's like I've always...
You're not?
No, I know. It's shocking, isn't it?
They haven't caught up with you yet, that's all.
There you go. I don't want to be. Those people are scary. No, I'm kidding. I'm teasing. I love Mensa members.
Just because they want to clone you? Come on, be nice.
Yeah, no, it's cute. I mean, it's like, oh, you're cute. And it's like, no, I'm not playing that game. You know, because it's like, if I say something, then they want to engage me. And it's like, it's not that I can't keep up with the conversation to an extent, but sometimes it takes me a few minutes to process the words. And it's like, if you're throwing $10 words at me, you know, it's like, give me a minute to catch up with you. But anyway, I digress with that. But, no, because to me, magic basically stems down to energy. It's energy manipulation.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
And it's not that I don't, you know, worship the gods and the goddesses. I do, very much so. But a lot of the magic that we cast is, I mean, it's all about your intent, and that's right back to the energy, you know, and what you put out there is what you get back.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm absolutely all for the demystification of magic. You know, I don't much care for the hooky spooky. I mean, anybody can do parlor tricks, but the whole concept of you know, evil and the scary part, you know, that a lot of people kind of look to as a justification for their hatred, all of that is, I guess, kind of lost on me, because even though I was raised by Christians, frightening, you know, I just, even through all those teachings, I could never understand why the need for fear and the need for that hatred. You know, and the persecution, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, back to our guest.
Okay. So what else can I talk to you about?
Well, I know we had talked about the science of magic, and
yeah.
I was trying very hard to goad you into turning it into a book. But I really liked your concept. And has that turned into a class?
It hasn't started as a full-out book at this point. I'm doing quite a few, I don't know if I'm going to call them short, but they're, for lack of a better term, I'm going to call them essays.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of, I want to kind of get my own brain wrapped around this. And I think that's one of the reasons why I want to start this next class, is so that I can bounce my ideas off of other people and kind of get their feedback. The way this class is actually going to run, it's not so much as a teacher in classroom. It's going to be a round robin. We're all going to be teaching each other, so to speak. So it's we're going to have a pool of information that we're going to review, stuff to read, videos to watch, whatever, and then we'll get together and we'll just basically talk about it. We'll throw a couple of questions up on the whiteboard and who wants to talk about what, and then we'll kind of hash them out. So that's really where I'm hoping to go with this particular class, is that it's going to help me kind of, you know, bring all my thoughts and ideas that I've been having and corral them into something a little more coherent and understandable. I don't even get it at this point. It's a little bit crazy, but it's really very exciting stuff. I'm enjoying it a lot.
Any of this going to be made public so that, you know, other people can... You know, are any of these discussions going to be notated and posted anywhere for other people to read and enjoy?
Well, I'm trying to, first of all, get the class started. It's going to begin on September 12th. Once I get through a couple of those classes, what I think I might do is take a note again from my HP. He's been recording his classes in video and audio, and he's
uh-huh.
trying to clean them up a little bit, because he is the, you know, the irreverent reverend, and if you were just to post his stuff without editing it, it would be, you know, rated R with an explanation, because it's just real raunchy. So gotta cut it out a little bit.
We should have him on the show.
Oh, he's awesome.
You know what?
He's incredible.
Not to put you on the spot, and I haven't met Mark Lyons, and from everything I've heard, Mark Lyons is the HP over at the Silver Broom Ministries. Even though I haven't met him, I've heard really incredibly amazing things. And not to put you on the spot, but Mark, if you're listening, we would like to have you on the show.
yeah.
There's a plug for Silver Broom. No pressure, but I'll call you out until you show up just so you can keep me quiet. Good luck to you, bud. But anyway.
I will certainly talk to him about it. He's laying low a little bit lately because actually he's no longer, I should be accurate about this, he's no longer the HP at the Silver Broom. He's now an elder. He's an elder now. And he's leaving the HP slot open. Right now, Amy is still the High Priestess, and she hasn't chosen another HP at this point, but I believe it's going to be her significant other, who is another dragon wizard like myself, so that's pretty cool. And it should happen.
That's awesome. Well, you know what? Because of Mark's now elevated status, I still want him on, so there you go. I'll leave that to you.
He's certainly one of the youngest. One of the youngest elders I've ever seen, so he's younger than I am.
No, it's not about age; it's about experience.
He's been a practicing witch since he was 12 years old, so he's got a lot of experience behind him.
12 years old. That's pretty amazing, and a little bit scary.
A lot bit scary.
I actually am going to put you on the spot, and I'm going to ask you to do the cards tonight, but I'm not going to ask you to do it yet because I want to ask you about Witchfest.
Okay.
What it is and what you're going to be doing.
Okay. Witchfest New York is not the same one that happened in New York City, which I attended, but did not do any workshop or what have you. This is apparently an annual thing that happens out here on Long Island. It's in Smithtown. And from all of the feedback I've been getting from other witches at the Silver Broom is that it's a great venue for anybody who is a practitioner who wants to come and meet other practitioners and kind of get a little FaceTime with some of the people that are in the know, so to speak, or in the mainstream. So Witchfest New York has been cooking for about 5 or 6 years, whatever it is, and a lot of the witches at the Broom actually go there and do readings. So I met with another young witch over at the Silver Broom who I've spoken to you about. Her name is Savannah, and
she's
a tarot reader, professional tarot reader, and she knew the witch who actually organizes the witch festival in New York. She introduced us online, and she wants to have me come and do a workshop on runes and rune magic at the Witch Festival in New York. Also, I'm hoping I can get my deck printed in time, which is it's cutting it really close. I already talked with the printer, so if I can get this kickstart to happen, I can just about clear the first shipment before the Witch Fest happens. I can get there with some decks and actually do some signing for buyers.
Awesome.
That would be kind of cool. Yep.
Would be extraordinarily cool. That would completely rock. Wow, our time is just really booking tonight, isn't it?
One question that we actually haven't asked that I'm curious about. What is the difference between the rune tarot and regular tarot?
Okay.
Because I don't know much about runes. I have tried to play with them. They don't like me.
Okay.
So I don't go near them.
Liam, before you launch into the difference, for folks who don't know, can you explain what runes actually are? Because there are some folks who are not familiar at all.
Sure, I can do that. Okay.
Awesome.
Runes,
thank you.
For lack of a better term, are a very, very old divination tool. They go back to the early Scandinavian time, or the Celts, that eventually became the Vikings, obviously, and the Norse. And essentially, it was a written language. It's very simple stick figures, if you will. It's very simple line drawing type stuff. And the reason that is because they had to carve it into stone and wood, so they used a hammer and a chisel, and it's just a lot easier to make straight lines than it is to make curved ones. So they did a number of 24 runes. This was done from... I can probably safely say about 1000 BC. It actually might go back further than that, but that's the most oldest recorded version of the runes that they found. And then it carried on from there. The early Vikings had 24 runes, and later on there was the Anglo-Saxons, and they kind of split up. They had the Angles, they had the Saxons, and they had the Jukes, and they all did their own language, just different dialects and what have you. Those three languages eventually met again back in England, where they became the younger Futhark or the Anglo-Saxon Futhark. So rather than having the original 24 runes, they had 33 runes. That being said, it was a divination tool that was using very, very old concepts. So stuff like the sun. The Vikings obviously were into ice, so you had lots of ice, you had hail, storms, and that kind of thing. So all of these images were brought into these runes. So what they used to do is they would cut a piece of wood, they would burn or carve these runes into the wood, and then cast them onto a cloth and read them, just like we would read, you know, a tarot deck. So that's essentially where the runes came from. They're a very old Norse version of divination. The tarot deck that I designed, and the reason I put the runes in them, I said earlier, is that the runes seem to match each other. And rather than trying to, I have a call coming in. Can I just bow out just for 2 seconds, and I'll call back in?
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
Thanks.
Wow, I've never had a guest do that before.
it was probably important. He doesn't know anymore. No, I'm just kidding.
You're so funny. Oh, my goodness.
I
have to tell you, The Science of Magic is an essay that I did start reading, and the connection between what we call magic and science, the more evidence that, you know, it's not hooky spooky and, you know, we pull it out of our behinds, I think the better it is for all concerned to breed a
exactly.
little understanding, you know. I think, I don't know, Hollywood gets hold of terminology and kind of fucks it up for everybody. Don't you think, sis?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, seriously, I think the one thing that anyway, yes, brain fart, yes. Oh, and it came right out my damn mouth. Anyway, I think the closest that Hollywood has ever come to it, you know, and this is just way stretching it, was, you know, practical magic. You know, because they explain, yeah, that's not part of the craft, and this is not part of the craft. But, yeah, seriously, I wish I could, like, do the backwards lighting of candles. I know I've seen you do it. I know you can do it. But,
well, you've only seen me do one trick, and that was in a fireplace. That's not, you know, whatever. Next. Let's not give away all of the sister's secrets. Anyway.
Yeah, I know. Oh, and I think he's back. Hold on a second.
Yep, I'm here.
Are you there? Okay.
I'm here.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Is life calling you again?
Yes, but that's okay. I got life on hold.
Awesome.
Oh, I don't know if that's a good idea. Wow. Okay, life on hold. That's kind of scaring me. But anyway, back to the conversation at hand.
Okay, we were talking about the deck again, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
We were talking about runes and what runes are.
Okay.
And
well,
how they and how you've been able to combine them with a tarot deck.
Right. Okay. So I think I went over the history of the runes and how they work and everything. I've been working rune magic for a while. I've been doing bind runes pretty much daily for about 30 years.
Explain what a bind rune is, please.
Okay. Bind runes is you take several runes and you're basically superimposing them on top of each other But there's a lot more to it than just that. You also need to take into account the energy of the rune and what it's going to be doing with the runes that you're binding with. But essentially, that's all it is you're taking these runes, you're superimposing them, their lines kind of share, and then you create this unique and hopefully meaningful rune out of the various runes that you're using. But the real trick, of course, is when you're doing, just like any other magic that you're going to be doing, you have to have the right intent. You have to have the right vibration going on, otherwise, you know, wasted time and wasted ink. So I would do these bind runes. I mean, like I say, I've been doing them pretty much daily for 30 years now. Whenever I have anything that's going on, home-wise, work-wise, you know, any kind of issue that's going on, I can think up a couple of runes. I'll take a piece of paper out. I'll sketch it a little bit, get myself a bind rune together, and either I'll do it on paper or I'll do it on something else that I can then use. But it was kind of a, I don't know how you want to say it. It's kind of an evolutionary thing. I've been doing it long enough that it's become almost a habit. Not one that I want to kick, but anyhow, okay. So, working on the tarot, many years ago, some 25 years ago, I wanted to put the runes into the design of the deck itself. I don't know if anybody has actually looked at the cards, but in each of the cards, and I know they're, in some of them they're very small, so it's really hard to see, but I promise you, every single card has runes in them. And the runes, when I kind of just started putting them in and saying, okay, the 10 card is going to have a T, an E, and an N, because it spells 10, and I would read the runes based on what the card was supposed to mean, and I went, oh my God, it means the same thing. And then I would do all of the other 10s, and I would say that, you know, the runes have a very open interpretation, that they have many different meanings. So when I put them all together and I looked at them and I said, you know what, even if they're different suits, they all essentially have a similar progressionary vibration to them. So the 10 of the cups is similar to the 10 of pentacles and the swords and whatever. It's all kind of close to each other to begin with. So when you look at the runes in that way, they also seem to mirror the card. So I ended up putting together a couple of ideas, and granted, a few of the cards are spelled differently, or I use different runes. To give you an example, like the two card, it's really kind of hard to spell T-W-O when you're doing phonetics. You know, you don't want to spell the word with the real letters. You want to spell it phonetically. So a couple, yeah, of them are spelled T-W-O. Some are spelled T-U, which is the phonetic spelling of two.
Right.
So it was just, you know, I had to kind of be a little bit more creative with some of the cards. But 99, I mean, out of the 78 cards, I'd say 70 of them are just pretty much straight interpretation using the rune. And it is amazing, in my opinion, how much the runes seem to mirror what the traditional meaning of the card would be. So that's how I came up with the whole concept to begin with.
Right.
It's been a lot of fun.
How long did it take you to actually consider the design of each card and put, you know, actually create this deck?
I could tell you it took me 5 months, but that would be inaccurate, because it took me 25 years to really come up with all of the understanding of the runes and the tarot to be able to put the deck together. It's kind of like saying, you know, somebody's an actress or an actor or, you know, game show host, you know, or you know, like Oprah Winfrey was an overnight sensation. It wasn't an overnight sensation. She's been working on that for years before she became a success, you know. It just happened that, you know, things clicked at the last time, you know, and then everything worked. So there is no overnight development of the deck. It took me 25 years to do it. It took me 5 months to put all the cards together in computer graphics, but it took me a lot longer than that to get all the cards the way I wanted them in my head.
So in essence, it was a labor of love over many years with a great amount of study. So this is a very
accurate statement.
Well, this is a very well thought out deck, because you didn't just slap something together. Research and consideration went into this deck. So I want the folks to understand that this isn't something that was just slapped together. This was something that took, you know, a couple of decades and a half to create.
That's true.
Yeah.
And to validate that a little bit more is the program that I use is called Poser. Anybody who's ever used 3D graphics of any kind, Poser is probably one of the premier ones, but it's also really, how do we say this, not user-friendly. It's not something that you just pick up and use. So it took me that 8 years of, you know, using that application over and over and over again for 8 years through four iterations. I started with Poser, I don't know, 3.8 or whatever the heck it was, and I ended up doing the deck on Poser 7. So it's been through a lot of variations that, you know, I had to learn how to use this program over those 8 years, and that was what allowed me to kind of put the cards together in what I would think is a really short amount of time. I didn't think I'd be able to do it in that, the time that I did. But when I kind of like reviewed it over my head, and I thought if I had to do this from scratch and I had to do, you know, using that program for the first time, yeah, it'd take me 8 years, you know, to do this. It wouldn't happen in 5 months. It'd take me 8 years to get it right.
Wow.
Yeah, I can hand draw. I haven't even attempted with the computer animations. I'm scared of that. I am. I admire anybody who can do it. I just can't. I'm like, because I get too frustrated. I'll erase an entire friggin' picture if, like, the eye is just tweaked a little bit too much to the left. It's like I'm a pain in the ass with it. That's why I don't draw that much anymore. So my hat's off to you.
Thank you much.
Yeah, I have to tell you, the deck is beautiful. I know you went through many, many revisions practically on each card to get them just perfect.
That's correct. I had this annoying little witch that was telling me, no, that's not right. You got to make that different.
What the hell is he talking about? I don't know what.
Oh, I can hear the slap flying from here.
No slap. I have to be honest. My first husband and I are very good friends. It took a lot of years to become very good friends, but we are very
that
good friends.
Yeah, put that in Facebook, yeah.
Yeah. Anyone who has ever seen any of our conversations on Facebook, everybody goes, oh, aren't they cute? But there's no sense in holding on to anger, which, you know, doesn't serve anybody. Things that are in the past are in the past. Sometimes you have to move on and make it a better situation as opposed to, you know, I see people who stay angry at each other forever, and we're not that kind of people, you know.
Thank goodness.
So
that's
I'm very happy to say that things, even many years later, can have a happy resolution as opposed to a negative one. But the deck is beautiful. What's the Kickstarter? Where's our goal for Kickstarter, and where is it right now?
Okay. I haven't checked it today, but it was at 1,100 and change earlier today, and the goal is 5,000. The 5,000 is for the fully printed deck, 1,000 copies, which is the minimum. The boxes, which will be not just one of those thumbtuck boxes, it's an actual box and lid, also printed with the logo or the design on top, and the two information cards, of course. It includes an online copy of the Rune Tarot book, which is the explanation of each of the cards. It's also got a website that I'm developing that will have the Rune Tarot cards that you can actually do a rune spread online on your computer.
Wow.
I don't know if you want to use that for actual divination or just for fun, but there it is. So all of that put together is going to run upwards of about $5,000, which is where I'm putting the Kickstart. So now that I've just dialed into Kickstart, we're at the $1,202. So we're 35 days left to go, and hopefully we can get there. That would be pretty
hopefully.
Cool.
So we want to encourage anybody and everybody who can possibly get over to Kickstarter and take a look, you know, see what you think, and, you know, we certainly would like to hear feedback. And if anybody wants to jump in on the ground floor of a great project, come on. Time's a-wasting.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful deck. It's well done. Again, it took many years to put together. So I'm pretty excited about it, as you can probably tell. Not because I benefit. I do not make anything from this. I am not part of the project. I just want folks to know that I really love this and totally am behind it 100% from an emotional standpoint, and I will also be contributing to the Kickstarter program because I would love to have a deck of these cards. I think they're beautiful.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. And yes, a couple of our listeners have reposted the link, so thank you guys for that. We greatly appreciate that, too. Every little bit helps. If you can't donate right now, post a link anywhere you can think of. You know.
Absolutely. We are about encouraging members of our community and backing people up. And, you know, we support anything that is what we consider a worthy project. So, and I certainly feel that this is a worthy project. So thank you to everybody who has chipped in or has reposted, because press is always good too. Thank you very much. What else have you got on your plate there, Liam?
Well, let's see. I don't know what else I have happening in the very near future. I do know that I'm trying to kind of put together quite a few small venues that are coming up. We did mention the New York Witch Festival and so on. I spoke with Amy, my high priestess over at the Silver Broom, and
yeah,
she's already given me the green light to go ahead and do a deck signing at the Silver Broom once the deck gets published. So that will be kind of fun. Yeah, that should be fun.
So our friends in the New York area, be on the lookout for Liam to do an actual card signing. That's very cool. Where is Silver Broom?
It's on Main Street. Actually, it's off of Main Street in Sayville. There's a road called Railroad. It obviously goes up to the railroad station. And it's kind of hard to find. I've lived here most of my life, and I've never seen the damn place. It's been there for years. It was only when I started looking for it that I found it. So it seems to be like that. It's kind of set back away from the road. And if you're not looking for it, you won't find it. But if you go up Railroad Avenue, you will see it. It's a little place. It's beautiful. It's got a classroom on one side. It's got a temple on the other and a little store in the front. And it's just a really terrific place. And so far, it's really kind of funny. You know, where they talk about how people will come up to the front door and you'll see right away what their you know, interest is. Because if they're coming in there to explore and to see stuff, they're very excited, you know. When they're coming up because they think it's like an antique shop or something, and the first thing they see when they open the door is this big pentagram, you know. They're like, oh my god, you know. They're looking this year. So, but every witch that comes in there, and I mean every witch that comes in there, they all just kind of look in. They step in. I felt it the first time I stepped in the door, and I was like, oh, this is nice. This is a comfortable place. Anybody who's a New Yorker, you might remember from, I think it was 20th Street or 21st Street, there was the Magical Child in New York City. Anybody remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, it was
I never got there.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Magical Child, I mean, if you can imagine going into a place that has way too little lighting, everything is very dim. And it's just black painted walls and you know, jars of stuff on the back counter and stuff. It was just really dark, you know, and you'd walk into that place and you would just feel like you had to look over your shoulder every couple of minutes. You know, it was just, you felt very uncomfortable. But the Silver Broom, mm-hmm. would walk in and the energy is just so uplifting. You walk in and there's just, everything just feels good. And, you know, no, it's not by accident. It's not, you know, because it happens to be the location that it is. That's not it at all. The people that go there,
yeah.
that attend the place, and also the, you know, the High Priestess Amy, Mark, and Amy's mom is actually the storekeeper, and there's quite a few other people that are taking care of this place on a regular basis. They're in there cleansing literally daily. You know, there's a smudge happening every couple hours. So it's not
oh, wow.
that you're Yeah, it's not an accident. It's a real, you know, a real loved place. And when you walk in, it feels like a really loved place. You know, it's just a wonderful experience. So it's a great thing that I've actually found this group, and it's just been a lot of fun getting to know everybody there. I should be, hopefully, by the end of September, I should be a full member of their coven, which would be kind of a new thing for me.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
I've never actually joined a coven before, so this is very new for me.
Wow.
I was...
I'm sorry,
go ahead. No, I was just saying that's really cool.
That is cool. I know, and I like the fact, I'm looking at their webpage right now. I've been posting all of your links that you've been talking about. But I was reading at the bottom here, it says giving back. The Silver Broom Ministries is a drop-off location for Long Island Cares.
That's correct.
Please feel free to drop off a donation of non-perishable food, pet food, toiletries, or school supplies. I really like that. That's awesome. That's awesome.
We're having I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just getting ready to say one of our listeners is asking what tradition they are.
Oh, I'm sorry. They are, well, for lack of a better term, they're eclectic. So they have members within their coven. They have Celtic tradition, Norse tradition. They have Egyptian. They have Golden Dawn. They have, you go through the whole list, and there's somebody in that group that's one of those, you know, one of those sub-flavors of pagan, where there's a very, very wide range of learning that goes on. So one of the things that's very, very carried over with all of the teachers that are actually offering classes within the Silver Broom is that magic is not one flavor, and it's like the way they describe it is like going into your kitchen and going and cooking. You know, you're going to use different ingredients, and all the ingredients don't taste the same. So there's nothing wrong with learning many different types of magic because you're going to use them all. You know, you're not going to just say, well, I'm only going to make apple pie, and I'm never going to make, you know, cherry pie. I'm never going to make pecan pie because I only make apple pies. Well, you're going to have a really boring pie shop. You know, you're going to have lots of different flavors going on. So when you're using your magic like that, where you're taking little pieces from everything and then you're putting it all together, you come up with something that's very you. You know, it's very unique for yourself. And it really does kind of tap into all these different flavors, and you can really make some really good magic that way. That was how they kind of came up with the whole
concept.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I never even thought about it that way. That's, you know, that just gives me a whole additional perspective. It does. It really does. I never thought about it that way. So that was pretty cool. I learned a little something. Thank you.
Oh, that's why I like hanging with these people. I'm learning all kinds of stuff from these people.
How long have you been attending Silver Broom?
I'm sorry, how long of what?
How long have you been attending the Silver Broom?
Since November of last year. So almost a year now.
Wow.
It's not that long. I mean, it's quite a few people that have been there much longer than me. The Broom has been there for 7 years. It's a subsidiary of Drawing the Circle Productions, and that's been around 14 years. But I've just kind of started to uncover a little bit of what the Silver Broom is about. Now, granted, I didn't have a lot of understanding of what the coven was about, but now that I've dedicated to the coven, or I'm a dedicant-to-be, what they're essentially doing is they're collecting a bunch of solitaries. You know, the coven is actually called the Solitaries of the Silver Broom. It's not that they're all getting together every time to do some kind of, you know, ritual or magic. It's very rare that they actually get together in large numbers. But we do kind of support each other in this you know, wonderful venue that they have over at the temple. So we can kind of reflect ideas on each other. We can get some assistance. If you have something that you want to accomplish, either magically or mundanely, you can go there and talk to somebody. Mark is a minister, and that's not, you know, just a title. He actually does ministry work. He takes care of people who need, you know, spiritual guidance, and he's terrific at it, you know, and there's a whole lot of them. Every Sunday they have somebody else doing a service, so it's pretty cool.
Okay, that's awesome.
I'm okay. I'm impressed.
We need a road trip.
Yeah, I know. We need a road trip. Keep saying we need a road trip. I don't know
it's
where
very,
we're going. But
it's
we're
a
going.
Great place. Come on up.
I don't
yeah,
know. See,
so,
we need...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we need to hit up them, and then we need to go head up to Lilydale. We need to go all these places. We need to be traveling witches. We need to pack up our brooms and just start traveling and do the show on the road.
I love
you. Oh, there you
go. I love you to pieces, but if you think I am not traveling in the cool comfort of my car, you got another thing coming, woman.
come on. It's only a few splinters.
Yeah, well, you know what? I don't need splinters in certain places. Anyway, Liam, would you do us the honor of doing the reading tonight?
I will do that. Okay, do we want to pose a question or just pull cards?
Pull a reading.
Okay,
yeah,
how many do you want?
I've got a full spread. I like the full spread. You've got 15 minutes. Give me a full spread.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah,
really?
She said spread.
Spread. I'm making him do a spread. You see that? Even over 25 years later, this bitch still has some control. Do you like that, folks?
That's
spread them.
Kind of scary. I'm doing.
And you should be scared. You were married to me once. You never know what can happen.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Very afraid.
I'm going to do a pentacle spread. So we've got five cards. And
tell me about
first,
what's a pentacle spread. Explain the pentacle spread, please.
All right. If anybody's familiar with drawing a pentacle, you start at the lower left, and then you draw your five-pointed star going, you know, across to the upper right, then the upper left, then the lower right. And then the middle and the top. Pentacle, let's do real quick. Pentacle is the symbol of the four elements plus the fifth element of spirit found in the circle of will. So this is essentially the five elements in the cast. And the way it starts is your lower left is your conflict or the problem at hand. Your upper right is your tools that you have in order to resolve this issue. Your upper left is your assistance or aid from the outside. Your lower right is opinion of others and conflicts along the way. And then your top card is your result, the final outcome. You cool on that so far? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
So the lower left card is the inverted five of pentacles. And what I'm going to get from this is, let's see, this is supposed to be our conflict, and it doesn't sound all conflicting. It's all about getting free, you know, finding a home, finding a stable existence. That being a conflict might be that the stable existence is not where you want to be. Possibly someplace that's more confining rather than liberating. The tools to be used, interestingly enough, is the Two of Cups. So you've got two new romantically interested individuals or kindly interested individuals, and you've got this Caduceus in the back, which is the healing energy, standing on the seashore. P.S., I'm using the Rune Tarot here, so if you're not familiar with the cards, you're probably not looking at what I'm looking at. And it's a beautiful sunrise, so it's a brand new day, and this is the tools that you have to work with. So you've got some good partnership working there. The next one will be the assistance from the outside. I've got a page of wands. This is all about the very creative individual, somebody who's got a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of eagerness, but it's inverted. So this is a lot of eagerness with maybe not a lot of forethought, which can make it a little bit complicated, especially when they're so eager to get going, they just don't know what they're doing yet. And we know quite a few people like that, right? All kinds of energy and just real good at stepping on toes. And then the obstacles along the way is we have inverted justice. Okay, obviously injustice, but there's more to it than just that. I'm looking at some of the runes right now, and I'm seeing The one that's jumping out at me right now is Inverted Urus. Now, Urus is the auroch, which is the wild bull or the wild oxen. And inverted, the wild oxen generally portrays strength and freedom. This is the inverted, which is the lack of strength or being tied down. Not so much the lack of health, but it could be. But in this case, I'm feeling that same thing that we saw with the five inverted. We're seeing this tied down thing where you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, and you're just trying to figure out how to open the door. And our last card is the King of Cups. And this kind of iterates what we saw on the Two of Cups. But the King of Cups, here he is sitting on his seashore. He's got this beautiful Viking longship in the background. He's sitting on a throne with a leaping mermaid on the back of his throne seat. And again, I'm looking at the runes that are coming up. And Keno is the K in the Viking language or the Norse. And Keno is it's a torch. And the torch in their tradition is a symbol of achievement or growing out of the mundane and into something newer and more important. Basically, when you went into a cave for a ritual, you would take your torch, your unlit torch, into the cave, and you would come out with the torch lit to show that you've become enlightened and you became a shaman. So here is this king who's sitting on his throne. Now, granted, he's all, I don't know how you want to put this, not mushy, but he's very, very energetic with his emotions. Okay, so he's got this big full cup, and he's got his crown and his mermaid leaping behind him, but he's also achieved something. He's gotten to the point where he's become something a little bit stronger, a little bit bigger, more than what he was. So now I'm looking at the five cards together, and I'm seeing only one of the major arcana. I'm seeing the two cups that are right next to each other, a wand and a pentacle, so it's a very balanced reading. We've got a little bit of everything going here. The only thing we're missing is swords, which is good. No conflict is good.
Yes.
But there is some conflict. It's not sword-type conflict where you're actually drawing blood at this time, but it's more trying to figure out how to get out of that wrong place, open that door and get out. So that's what I'm seeing here.
Wow.
All right. So how did I do?
Wonderful.
That's right. That was awesome. As a matter of fact, you've pretty much brought us to the conclusion of our show.
That was a fantastic reading. It's, you know, I think a lot of people can draw from that, you know, as far as, I mean, because the shift is happening, and it's like, I'm sure everybody has been feeling it. It's, you know, because I'm seeing it everywhere. You know, and it's that point where you're like, I'm ready to go. I don't know which way to go, and I just cannot get past this. It's like,
That's a really good question for Liam. Have you noticed any kind of, like, disturbances or changes, or are you feeling what we call the shift?
There is a definite change. Everybody at the broom agrees that there's a certain feeling that, everyone on this call is probably aware that paganism is now the fastest growing religion on the planet. So there's a shift where people are starting to understand that the differences, you know, it's almost like the differences between the governments of our world. There really isn't a whole lot of difference. You know, people want to be, everybody on the planet, as far as I'm concerned, everybody wants the same thing. They want to be happy, healthy, and wealthy and wise. That's pretty much what everybody wants. So when you're looking at our relationships between, you know, humans and humans, we really have a lot more in common than we have, you know, not in common. And it's turning out now that people are kind of looking at the religions a little bit more, you know, objectively, you got a lot more in common religious-wise as well. You know, when you're talking about the differences between Christianity and you know, Muslims, basically the only difference is what they call their God. You know, there's really no difference between Christianity and Muslims. When they say Allah, they're talking about God, and when they Christians talk about God, they're talking about God. You know, there's very little difference in that respect. It's how they're honoring the God that's different. But essentially, it all boils down to the same deity, you know. And you can even say the same thing about the Jews. They're also talking to the same God. So if you put all those things into the pot and kind of like mix them together, you're really looking at a universal understanding that, okay, you know, the gods might have different names and they might have different purposes and we might be able to talk to them differently, but essentially God is God is God. You know, there is no difference. And if you look at the root of the pagan religion or where it really stems from, it's not so much the variations of the gods. You know, we have all these pantheons, and that's terrific, but what you really come back to is source energy. You're talking about one divine entity, which is basically the universe. And that universe doesn't express itself as a single entity. It expresses itself like everything else in our universe does, in positive and negative, male and female. There's always a one side and the other. There's two sides of every coin. So that's how these deities became deities, is because they are representing this divine energy of the universe in its multiple forms, its male and female forms. So when we can kind of look at that and say, all right, then, you know, all the gods basically come back to that one source, why do we have to fight each other over religion? You know, if it really comes down to the understanding that the universe is the divinity, then basically all religions, including the pagans, don't have it all right, you know? No one religion is 100% accurate, you know? So that's
exactly.
It's true. I mean, granted, you can't possibly tell anybody that my religion is right, yours is wrong, I'm going to be okay, you're going to hell. You know, none of that works. So once you get past that part, you say, all right, we're all wrong to some degree, we're all right to some degree. Let's just say that, you know, the part that you consider right is okay with me, and the part that I consider right is okay with you, and let's put the rest aside. You know, you don't have to like the parts that you don't like about my religion. I don't have to like the parts about your religion that I don't like. And let's just call it even, you know, we'll just leave it at that. And that's kind of where I think the world is starting to turn, is that we're starting to realize that rather than harping on the differences, let's start focusing on the commonalities.
Okay. I couldn't have said it better myself. Wow.
I feel pretty fucking enlightened right now, don't you?
If I didn't have to hold the phone, I would be clapping. That was awesome. You get a standing O from me.
Thank you very much.
I'm clapping for you because I've got speakerphone capabilities.
There you go. Thank you,
so,
Seth. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. All right.
Yeah,
well,
that,
it's, you know, we have like 3 minutes left to the show, so we are going to thank our wonderful guest.
Yes,
Leah,
absolutely.
For being with us. Please visit the Rune Tarot Kickstarter program. You can find the links on our show page, our blog. I believe on our blog too. Is that right, sis?
Yeah, I'm posting the blog link because I've got all the links on there. Yes, our guest was most gracious enough to actually put that together for me, so it saved me some time and got all that in there. So I greatly appreciate that, too.
We do.
The only one that's not in there is the True Lee, so I'm going to go ahead and post that, too. That's the only thing I haven't included in the blog. So I'm going to post both of those. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
and did we cover what truly was real quick, Liam?
Well, it's the I'm just trying to put something together quick. It's a page about again the Rune Tarot, also about getting rune casts and tarot readings online, as well as hopefully in the near future doing online classes and ordering the tarot deck when it gets published.
Very awesome. Okay, so we are going to say goodnight to our guest, Liam Stragenberg.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. We are certainly going to have you back on. And,
it was my pleasure.
I learned some stuff. I don't know about you guys, but I definitely feel enlightened right now.
I'm feeling good.
Are you feeling good? I knew that you would. All right, Liam, thank you again for being on the show, and we will talk to you very soon.
All right. Thank you very much, witches.
All right.
All right. Good night, hon.
Bye, ladies.
Bye. Well, you know, I have to tell you, I'm pretty fucking impressed. I don't know what you think. What do you think?
I am too. Yes, we definitely have to have him back on. And I hate to cut this short, but we've got like 30 seconds left. So
issue the blessing before we go. Come on.
Yes. So great blessings, great mother and great father. Thank you for being with us tonight. Thank you for the wealth, health, and happiness of our friends, our family, our listeners, and all their friends and family, their animals. We love you guys. Great blessings.
We love you.
We will see you next week with Kelly Curtis Spangler and Miss Jana D.
Yes. Goddess and great father, protect you all. We love you, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Samota B. Love you guys.
Bye.